God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. You are tuned to your Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Church. This is Pastor Larry. We are the world's oldest continually broadcasting Christian radio ministry in the world. We started in April of 1933. 10 years ago, on March the 2nd, 2011, Shahbaz Bhatti was leaving his mother's house in Islamabad, Pakistan, when he was mercilessly murdered in a hail of bullets. A defender of religious freedom in Pakistan, Bhatti was an outspoken critic of Pakistan's blasphemy laws. He had faced years of death threats and attacks on his person and property for his outspoken opposition to the country's corrupt blasphemy laws and other injustices in the Muslim-majority nation. Bhatti, the former federal minister for minority affairs and first Christian member of the Pakistan presidential cabinet, was shot several times through a car window. The fatal attack was in response to Bhatti's demand to review the controversial blasphemy case of Christian mother of five, Asiya Bibi. Shahbaz Bhatti is one of my heroes. There had been several attempts on his life before. Nevertheless, he would not give up in his attempt to bring religious liberty to the people of Pakistan. Pakistan gained independence in 1947 as a homeland for Indian Muslims following the Pakistan Movement. The nation is more than 98% Muslim and is hostile to Christianity and other religions. The Christians in Pakistan are some of the staunchest saints of God. Shahbaz Bhatti gave his life for religious freedom and is a wonderful example to all of us. We are visiting with Dr. Erwin Lutzer. We've been visiting with him on his new book, We Will Not Be Silenced. In the book, Dr. Lutzer examines several key cultural trends that are working against us, including the divisive issue of racism that dominates so much of our national discourse. Dr. Lutzer also seeks to encourage the church to keep its focus and understand that the gospel we believe also has implications for how we view culture and how we treat one another. Dr. Lutzer, thank you so much for being on the show with us once again.
Larry, it's great to be with you again, and yes, thank you for highlighting my book. I also want to point out, as you did, that after every chapter on these issues, I talk about the response of the church, and that is very critical. I didn't write this book in order to reclaim the culture, but to reclaim the church.
Right. Well, I think I've been a pastor and spoke in churches, different parts of the country. I know you have too, but I think 1 Peter 4:17, that judgment must begin at the house of God. I've often told Marvin, we have a lot of fellowship together in prayer. I've often said that the real problem is not communism, socialism, Islam, whatever. I think the problem is the church. We have such a flabby Christianity today. And I think that's really hurting us. But let's continue speaking about the race issue. It's such an important issue. Tell us about critical race theory. I've heard that phrase many times, and I'm sure our listeners have. And why is it really very, very dangerous to understanding the racial issue?
Critical race theory is actually based on Marx. Because, as I mentioned in the last program, Marx's view is that the key to history is oppression. So you have the oppressed and you have the oppressors. So critical race theory puts you into a category based on the color of your skin. If you are an African American, why then you are not a privileged person. Even LeBron James, who I'm sure has millions of dollars and great fame, would not be considered a person of privilege because of the color of his skin. But a poor white boy brought up in the worst poverty you could imagine would be considered a person of privilege because of the color of his skin. So what you have is the total rejection of what Martin Luther King taught us, when he said, let's not judge one another by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character. Critical race theory is thoroughly racist. And according to Marx, the oppressed have to overcome the oppressors and achieve cultural dominance. That's why we have racism everywhere today, not with the intention of solving any problems or bringing together any of the races in a sense of unity. That is despised. The intention, as I point out in the book, is to keep the races in perpetual conflict, perpetual antagonism by blaming and shaming. That's the whole point. And the idea is to bring about this revolution eventually where the oppressors overcome the oppressed. And as I mentioned, where the oppressors, yes, overcome the oppressed. And I think I mentioned last time that the Church of Jesus Christ speaks to this because of the unity of the body and the bringing together of people. To put it very clearly, critical race theory tears apart what Jesus Christ died to bring together.
Well, I think as you're talking, I keep on thinking of the concept that the issue is not the issue, the revolution is. That's really what they want, just upset the culture, vilify our past rather than learning from the past. I think we need to learn from the past. We as in America and every nation can do that. But the idea of upset and disturbance and turmoil, the protest, I think, you know, back early in the summer, I remember seeing a lot of photos of piles of bricks that were actually on pallets. They had been dropped by someone, and they were it almost like the pile of bricks had shrink wrap. You know, they were. It was so obvious that this was being generated from the outside. Now, I know there's a lot of anger in many, many communities, but I think the idea of turmoil, destroying the country, and then coming up with the idea that we need to defund the police. Wow.
Well, here's the thing. The death of George Floyd was, of course, a great tragedy, but it became a pretext. Many of the people who began demonstrating did so on the basis of race, but very soon it turned into a revolution, and that was the intention. And we just need to be able to understand that. Every revolution needs a pretext. Kristallnacht in Germany, I point this out in one of the last chapters of the book, We Will Not Be Silenced. Kristallnacht in Germany was actually precipitated because of the death of a German diplomat in Paris who was shot to death by a Jewish student. So Hitler told his people, let's burn down synagogues and so forth, and he told the police and the fire departments to stand back and not get involved. And I can almost see them carrying signs that says, justice for Ernst Roth. Ernst Roth was the man, the German, who was shot in Paris. So you need a pretext. But as you mentioned, the pretext isn't the real thing. The issue is never the issue. It is always larger than that, and that's what you were referring to. And I hope that we have enough time, Larry, to comment then on how this relates to the cancel culture.
Oh, absolutely. When you speak about the cancel culture, I think that's a good term for it, and it describes so much of what is happening. So maybe you could shed some more light on that, because I think one of the purposes of your book and one of my purposes in having you on dealing with this is that we need to be educated. We need to understand. The best way to deal with an issue is to really understand what is happening. So maybe tell us about the cancel culture.
Let me back up a little bit and remind us that the freedom of speech issue is also based on Marxism. Marx believed, and the leftists have always believed, that if we have freedom of speech, capitalists will win because they're the oppressors. So it's time for the oppressors to be quiet and let the oppressed speak. And that explains why in our universities today, conservatives are often not allowed to speak because they are members of the oppressor group. And so only the oppressed should speak, the LGBT community, minorities, and so forth. So even that is based on Marxism. But now to the cancel culture. I discuss this in my book on the chapter on propaganda. Let me back up and say this, that we have to understand collective demonization. Collective demonization is the view that once the elites deplatform somebody, everyone else has to chime in to prove that they are along with it and they are woke enough that they can be perceived as virtuous. So that's why when you have one person deplatformed, everyone else has to chime in. And if you don't, you are criticized. You know, Larry, you mentioned that I wrote a book entitled Hitler's Cross. And one of the things that happened in Germany was there were churches that put a swastika on their door. What they were saying, in effect, is when you come for the Christians, don't come for us, because we are on your side. So that's the way this cancel culture really works. And you know, I quote there the words of Churchill, who said, an appeaser is someone who feeds the alligator with the help that the alligator will eat him last. So that's what's happening. People are feeding the alligator. They're saying, don't come for me. I'm woke. So don't accuse me of anything. And so you have to chime along. But along with the cancel culture and collective demonization, you also have, of course, collective judgment and collective punishment. And Marx always believed in the collective solidarity. So it's not a matter of individuals who overstep the boundaries. If you are part of a certain class, the whole class is vilified. And that's the way in which Marxism works, and we are seeing it before our eyes. You think, for example, how Google recently has deplatformed and taken out of their book line a certain book that challenges the whole transgender phenomenon. And that's what we're coming to. You either accept our ideology or you're going to be in trouble.
That's the whole deal. Do it our way or else. Well, as I read your book, Dr. Lutzer, I see that these are really massive issues. And I know with the coronavirus crisis and with all of the flack going on over the election results and so forth, there's a lot of people who are very, very distressed, no doubt about it. But the attitude that you convey is that we cannot surrender and that resistance is not futile. In fact, you point out that if France would have invaded Germany in 1939, the Nazi resurgence would have been defeated, but the French were in no mood to defend their country. You quote, it is better to kneel speaking German than to be killed speaking French. Tell us about, you know, we will not be silenced because we're going to stand. But you seem to have the right attitude, the right balance. You're not denying anything. This is serious stuff, but you're not giving up. Give us a statement whereby we can realize that this is a problem, and yet we're on the winning side.
You know, I want to say this, Larry, that we have to keep in mind that our goal is not success, but faithfulness. When we talk about standing against the culture, and one of the reasons I wrote the book is because I think that the church in many ways is submitting to the culture. When we talk about standing for the culture, that doesn't mean that we shout as loudly as our opponents. It does mean that whatever sphere God has put us in, we have to be faithful. And for every person, that faithfulness will look differently. You know, the businessman has to ask himself the question, am I willing to write a bogus letter confessing the sin of my whiteness? I was born white, but now I have to apologize for it, which of course is nonsense. But nonetheless, is he going to do that? A school teacher here in Chicago told me that he was told that it wasn't enough to simply go along with same-sex marriage and tolerate it. If he didn't celebrate it, he could lose his job. So that's where it's come to. Are we willing to celebrate that which God condemns? And I'm saying that we need to look at this as believers and see it for what it is and ask ourselves the question, are we willing to pay that price And it may mean the loss of our jobs or whatever, because we're going to stand for truth and take the heat. And Jesus predicted that a day like this would come.
And he was absolutely right. And when I read the New Testament, Jesus was very truthful. He didn't soft pedal anything. He said, come and follow me, take up your cross. Well, the cross was an instrument of execution. It was like saying, take up your electric chair. So when I look, for example, at the situation in Pakistan, and you know we have a church there and a Christian school, the reason why the gospel is advancing is because Christians are truly courageous. And I think perhaps our materialism and all of the blessings we have in America has made us a little bit soft.
Yeah, and I'd say even more than a little bit. I think that we are so used to, the average American thinks this, that if we really lived the way we should, we would have freedom of religion, we would be able to all be rich, and God would just continue to pour out blessings. We don't understand how that the church throughout history has had to learn that persecution repositions people for ministry and witness. And that's something we have not learned as Americans. And that's why this book that I've written tries to help us see that we should not be surprised regarding the fiery trial which is to try us, as Peter says, but we should be able to suffer with joy. As Jesus said, when people say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice, because we see the bigger picture. Time is short, eternity is long.
Wow, what a statement. Well, friends, Dr. Lutzer is going to be back with us for one more show. And this is, like I said at the very beginning, this book, We Will Not Be Silenced, is something that you must have. There is a love for all people, but a truthfulness, speaking the truth in love. So Matthew, our announcer, will come and tell you how to get your own copy of We Will Not Be Silenced.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the new book titled We Will Not Be Silenced. You can have a copy for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. If you would prefer to write and place your order, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order this much-needed book on our website at swrc.com. We also have the new book by Alicia Illion titled Chasing Perfect. This book will help you learn what it means to look beyond each day's diversions and live in surrender to the Savior. You can have a copy for a gift of $18. Better yet, get both books, We Will Not Be Silenced and Chasing Perfect, for a gift of $32. That number again is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Should we tell children you can be whatever you want to be? Definitely not. It is far better to say you can be whatever God made you to be. We are not all the same. By divine design, we all have different talents, abilities, and also different weaknesses and liabilities. We are not all equally endowed, nor are we all fitted to earn the same salaries, nor have the same jobs in government and industry. Generally speaking, says Nolan Harkness, Christian youth specialist, teens are usually gifted in one of three areas, artistically, athletically, or intellectually.
Imagine a teen boy who's a very good basketball player. His mother tells him he is going to be in the NBA someday. She would say, "Someday you are going to buy me a mansion and a new car." But how does she know? The truth is that out of the 3% of all high school players who ever make a college team, only 1.2% go on to play in the NBA. Unfortunately, many teens, says Harkness, have periods of depression because of the unrealistic expectations their parents have for them. You can't be happy if your life is built on a fantasy that is as solid as a morning mist in August.
We should give everyone equal opportunities, but to peddle the increasingly popular idea that all people should have an equal outcome to their lives is ludicrous. It's a good promise to win votes in a presidential election, but it promotes a false hope that leads people to feel that they have been cheated if the outcome of their lives is not the same as everyone else's. Such thinking promotes class conflicts, which, by the way, is what some people want and is one of the ways Marxists seek to overthrow traditional economic structures. They appeal to a higher goal, to justice, and claim it's a matter of right and wrong. Marxism claims the high moral ground and is sold as a noble cause.
As an example, let us consider how a tobacco company convinced women that they should smoke and they should do so in public. Until about 1926, it was considered improper for women to smoke publicly. However, the American Tobacco Company, which included the brand Lucky Strike, hired Edward Bernays to change this unwanted impediment to their business. If they could convince women to smoke openly, they might double the sales of their cigarettes.
In 1929, Bernays gathered a group of women who marched in New York's Easter Sunday parade while smoking, proudly displaying their so-called torches of freedom, as they were called. For women, smoking publicly now became a symbol of nonconformity, of independence and strength. It was a sign of rebellion against male dominance. Nothing, of course, was said about the negative effects of smoking, its addictive power, and its connection with lung disease. But when smoking became a symbol of equality and liberation for women, Lucky Strike found a new and lucrative market.
Phrases and slogans like, "You can be whatever you want to be," and "Equality for all" are attractive and create the idea that appeals to a great number, but are not really true. They are effective for making people of color and minorities feel that they are being cheated out of something that is really theirs, but they are not really true.
Western Journal, February 16, 2021, carried the story of a transgender mixed martial arts fighter who broke his female opponent's skull, being considered an intrepid hero who deserves to be celebrated as the bravest athlete in history, according to Sid Ziegler, co-founder and blogger of OutSports, an LGBT-focused site that is part of the left-wing digital media company Vox's SB Nation network. Ziegler breathlessly squealed in a January 14th post over speculation that transgender MMA fighter Fallon Fox could soon return to the ring after taking a hiatus to nurse some injuries. Ziegler praised Fox for rocketing to the top of his sport by beating his female opponents to within an inch of death. Ziegler claimed the fighter valiantly overcame unfair criticism after crushing one rival's skull and physically destroying other opponents to win his MMA matches. The blogger said, "Anyone who condemns Fox is a transphobic bigot." He said he's thrilled that Fox could soon return to the ring where the transgender athlete would be allowed to once again beat up women and get paid handsomely to do it. She had slipped away from the public eye and social media for some time and healed her body, he wrote. Now she's stepping back in the ring in hopes of some sparring and possible exhibition matches. I'm not the first female MMA fighter who's broken another fighter's bones or caused a large amount of stitches or a concussion or any combination of those, Fox said. And people will, of course, because I'm trans, hold it up as this devastating thing that couldn't possibly happen if I weren't trans. But there are many different examples of similar things happening. Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, who is a physician, said the notion is anti-science. Similarly, former MMA commentator Joe Rogan said allowing men to beat up women in physical combat sports is akin to sanctioning domestic violence. You're out of your mind if you think that a man who has been a man for 30 years and has taken female hormones for 2 is the same as a biological woman," Rogan said in a 2018 podcast. Rogan, a self-proclaimed lifelong liberal, continued, "We're built differently, and it's just a fact, and anyone who tries to argue is crazy. We shouldn't allow transgender athletes to compete against women in MMA fights so we can keep women from getting beaten up by men," he said. The photo of Fox accompanying the article was enough to scare anyone getting into the ring with him or her or whatever. "As a nation, we have lost all common sense. A man may alter appearance to look like a woman, but DNA, reality, doesn't change no matter what some say. Political correctness is still not correct or factual. If I could offer an idea, all girls and women could bring this to a hasty end if they just refuse to participate in mixed sports. Problem solved." Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein."
Every day, you can see America turn further from its Christian values. It is very frustrating to feel you can't talk about biblical truth without facing condemnation. If you need help, you should order our special offer today by calling 1-800-652-1144. We invite you to write to us, and if you need prayer or want to make a comment, address that letter to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And don't forget to visit us online at swrc.com. Perhaps this is the first time you have heard this program. Maybe you've listened for a while and you like this program and look forward to it, but have never called or written in. We invite you to do that today. In fact, for those that call or write today and say, "Jesus is Lord, please send me the DVD," we will send you a complimentary DVD of our TV show we call The Journey. If you like the radio program, wait till you see the video version. It was banned by some TV stations as being too controversial. Since when did the truth become controversial? The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Thank you for joining us today. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Erwin Lutzer wrap up this series on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.